Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to this brand new week at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you. We want you to be a part of today's broadcast, so we invite you to call with any Bible question or personal or family issue you might be discussing and having issues with. Well, the number, of course, 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and Canada. Again, 844-322-2742. Give us a call right now because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's a great passage for us today as we are talking about how to be close to God. It is in Romans chapter 7, verses 4 and 5. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. So at one time we were lost, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We belonged to sin and death. We were their property, so to speak. But now we have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that we may belong to another, to Jesus Christ himself. So that's closeness. So it comes through death, burial, and resurrection. That's how we get close to Jesus Christ. Just as he died, when we come to faith in him, we're identified in his death. We die with Christ, and we are buried with Christ, and then we are raised to walk in the newness of life. So that's the pathway to getting close to God. He goes on to say, for while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. So we wanted to do good. We embraced all the religious activities. We embraced all the rituals. We embraced all of those things. We tried to be obedient to the law, all for the purpose of getting ourselves closer to God. And what we saw was exactly the opposite thing happening in our lives. So while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, so we had sinful passions while we were living in the flesh, and those sinful passions were aroused by the law. Now, that just doesn't seem right, does it? That the law would arouse those sinful passions, but that's what happens. We used to give an illustration. It was a picture of a fence with a hole in it. Mm-hmm. And if there's nothing said about that hole, people just walk by. But if you put a sign up there that says, don't look in the hole, you're going to get a long line of people waiting to see what they can see through that hole in the fence. Well, what caused that? Well, it was the law. It was that sign that said, don't look in the hole. Yeah. So it aroused a desire. So the law arouses those sinful passions that are inside of us. And so when that happens, instead of bearing fruit for God, we bore fruit for death. That's what our life was like when we didn't know Jesus. But now that we know Jesus, now that we've gone through death, through burial, through resurrection, we belong to Christ. God's Spirit leads us, and we now serve in not the written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. Yeah. That's closeness to God. That's God living his life in and through us. And the result of that is that we bear fruit for God. So the result of our closeness to God, this relationship that we have with God, is the fact that we now bear fruit for God.
Yes,
that's good news.
That is great news. Thank you, Bob, for those thoughts. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We want to hear from you. Love for you to be a part of today's broadcast. You can do that by picking up that phone right now and dialing 844-322-2742. And of course, as I always say, that's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Now, friends, in mid-October, Bob and Andrew are going to team up to bring you an exciting Bible conference we're calling United. You can be sure it will be filled with the message of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And information and registration is open for United October 15th through the 17th right here in our ministry hometown of Lewisville, Texas. Visit basicgospel.net/united and join us for this very, very special event. Now, We urge you to make your plans as soon as possible because we have reserved a block of rooms there at the Conference Hotel at the best rates in the area, as a matter of fact, but that will expire at midnight on September 30th. So don't miss the convenience of being on-site for the conference at the Hilton Garden Hotel there in Louisville, Texas. All the information available at basicgospel.net/united. Come along. Be with us, friends. That's going to be coming up 15th of October. That's actually just 32 days away, I believe.
I know. It's just around the corner. Yep. So make your plans. Make your plans quickly. Come join us for this very special event. The venue is just absolutely perfect. It's beautiful. The hotel is warm and accommodating. It is centrally located right here in Louisville. Many restaurants just right around the hotel itself. This is just going to be a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful event at a wonderful venue. Don't miss it. Come join us October 15th through the 17th for United. You will be blessed, I guarantee it.
Absolutely. Once again, all the information available at basicgospel.net/united. Well, Bob, we had this question that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Yes, I would like to know if the rapture takes place before the Antichrist is revealed. And this is Dorothy from North Carolina. Thanks, and you have a good day.
Well, Dorothy, we've all been trying to figure out the timing of when all of these future events are going to happen. That's part of prophecy, part of eschatology. And what we see is this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I think Paul gives us some insight into this second coming of the Lord. And he starts this chapter with these words, "Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So that's the big issue. That's what we're waiting for as children of God. We read in Titus chapter 2, that the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And it's this grace of God that teaches us to say no to worldly passions and to ungodliness and to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation while we wait for the blessed appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we're waiting for, the appearing of our great God and Savior, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul frames it here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So he says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together with him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. So there were many people there in the city of Thessaloniki wondering if they had missed it, if they had missed the second coming of the Lord Jesus, that they were left behind. And I know there are many people that have that fear that they're going to be left behind. But Paul assures us that we are not children of the night or children of the dark, that we're children of the light. So we shouldn't fear that. We're going to know. Why? Because we've been marked out by God. We have the Spirit of God living in us. We can be assured that when Christ comes back, he's coming for us. He's not going to leave us. Why? Because we're his. That's the good news, isn't it? So he says, hey, this hasn't happened. So let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. So he says, here's the second coming of the Lord. When the Lord comes, there's going to be a gathering together of all of those who belong to him. But before that, the man of lawlessness is going to be revealed. So here we see a timing, don't we? that this timing is first the son of lawlessness is revealed. It's this final push, this final act of rebellion in which Jesus just destroys with a word. There's no real battle there. Jesus is just going to destroy that with his word. When the son of, or when the man of lawlessness is revealed, then we know the second coming is close at hand. Mm-hmm. And when the Lord comes, he's going to gather us together with him. He's going to snatch us up and we're going to be with him forever. Talk about good news. Talk about hope. Those passages are filled with that very word, the hope of God.
And Dorothy, we hope this has been a complete encouragement to you. And thank you for your question. It's always an interesting question. And Bob, thank you for that answer. Plenty of open lines right now. 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to our phone lines and talk to Gil, listening to us in the Bronx. Hi, Gil. You're on the line.
Hi. It's a pleasure talking to you. This is the fine gentleman that called years ago. Do you remember me?
I do. We remember you well. Great to hear from you again.
So happy. You know, I got saved through the ministry years ago. I asked Jesus to come into my life in 1992 before you started working.
Oh, wow.
Bob George used to be on People to People, right?
Yeah, that's right, Gil. We remember.
Oh, my God. Am I on the radio, too, now?
You are on the air. People from all over this country are listening to you.
Praise the Lord. I want to recite Hebrews 10:25 and 10:24, and then you can comment on it. My question is, why is this verse so important? I'm going to quote it to you. It says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, verse 24, I believe, says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another unto love and good deeds," which means work. Why in these times is it important to not just hear the Bible, but be in fellowship with other believers? Because I love to fellowship with other believers. I was wondering if you could explain that to some people, that they say church is not so important, that I can just worship at home, which is true. But I was wondering if you can elaborate on what I'm sharing.
Well, Christianity isn't Lone Ranger Christianity. We're not to be out there isolated and trying to live this Christianity by ourselves. God was very clear that when he saved us, he added us to the body of Christ. So we are all fellow members of the body of Christ. So Gil, in 1992, you were saved individually. There was this moment that took place between you and the Lord Jesus. You responded to the grace of the Lord Jesus through faith, and you were saved. You, at that very moment in time, God took you from death to eternal life. So that happened in an instant, in a moment. And in that moment, you were added to the body of Christ. You became a member of the body. So for us to function together, or to function as a believer in Christ, we do so best when we are connected with other believers. So all the members of the body working together so that we can experience the fullness of Christ Jesus here on planet Earth. So we need one another, Gil. Just like our human bodies, there are many parts in these human bodies, and all the parts are important. And for this body to function as God intended it to, all these parts of the body need to be working in harmony one with another. Well, God uses that as the illustration to describe the church, or the body of Christ. So we're all members. We've all been gifted with gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when we exercise those gifts in a corporate setting, then we're going to see the fullness of Christ Jesus, and we'll be able to carry out our mission as a body of believers out there in the world. So it's vitally important that we are connected one to another. Now, we can connect with other believers through, weekly gatherings at a church. We can connect with other believers through small group Bible studies, through at times at lunch with other believers or dinner or whatever it might be. But when we're together, we're going to see the work of God's Spirit happening through us, and we're going to be able to encourage one another for love and for good deeds. So, Gil, yeah, it's vitally important for us to be connected, and not virtually, although praise God for the virtual tools that we have so that we can connect in that way. But to be right there together, flesh and blood, that's when we see the power of the body of Christ in action.
Yes. I just want to tell you as a testimony, I did not know how to read very well my entire life until I got the Bible in 1991 from a couple at the health food store, Dennis and Charlie. And I have suffered from ringing in the ears for a long time, and there's no cure for that. And this is how I came to know the Lord. As Psalm 119, verse 71, it says, "It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your decrees." And verse 67 says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word." And I also learned how to play the keyboard, so I do play a lot of beautiful Christian music on the keyboard. Thanks be to God. And I also ask you to pray for me because I lost my best friend, Nancy, my girlfriend. We wanted to get married, but she died because she was affected by 9/11. So her lungs collapsed in November, and it's one of the hardest things for me to experience because she was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I was able to tell her about Jesus. And we met in a hospital a few years ago, and she was amazed how I memorized the scriptures. And she was touched by that, and then she became interested in God, and I told her about Jesus.
Oh, Gil, that's wonderful that you had that opportunity to be an impact, be an influence in her life, and to point her to the one who claimed to be the way, truth, and the life, Jesus Christ himself. And our heart certainly goes out to you, Gil, and we will be praying for you. And, Gil, it's awfully nice to hear from you again. Please don't be a stranger. Call us anytime, okay?
Yes, indeed.
In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And I want to work to play music for the Lord and tell people about Jesus. So please pray for my ministry. I'm going to a day treatment program now in the Bronx called Gateway. And my keyboard used to be at Nancy's house, so they moved it to Gateway. So I'm able to play for my friends at Gateway. It's a mental health program.
Well,
it's going to be a blessing.
Well, that's wonderful,
yeah,
Gil, and
really.
You keep us posted on that, and God bless you for just your heart of service toward others and wanting others to know the good news of Jesus Christ. So, Gil, thanks for your call today. Great to hear from you, my friend, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again in the near future. God bless.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Gil. Well, Bob, from YouTube viewer Tommy, a question. How do we know that what we're asking of God, is in accordance with his will? What is his will?
Well, we see in several different passages in the Word of God what the will of God is. For example, in John 6, verse 40, we read this. And it is a wonderful, wonderful passage, "For this is the will of my Father." So it's very clear, isn't it? This is the will of God, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So what is the will of God? It's that we believe in Jesus Christ the Son. And when we believe in Jesus Christ the Son, we're given eternal life. And we have that blessed hope that one day we're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And we're going to spend an eternal existence in the presence of God. We're going to belong to him, and we're going to know his love and grace and mercy forever. That's God's will. That's God's desire for every person. Paul writes about that as well, that God wishes none to perish, but all to come to repentance. That's the will of God. And then we see it spelled out even more clearly for us in the book of Hebrews, when we see, for example, in Hebrews chapter 9, that a will does not go into effect until the one who made it died. Well, what was the will of God? It's this new covenant that you and I live in, a covenant in which God writes his laws in our hearts and in our minds, a covenant in which we are God's people and he is our God, a covenant in which we know the Lord from the least of these to the greatest, a covenant in which God has forgiven our sins and he remembers them no more. So God's will for you is to be a beneficiary of his will, this new covenant. Yeah. And how do we do that? By believing in the Son. Now, that's what the will of God is as far as the Bible is concerned. So to believe, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ in all things as far as salvation is concerned, and then trust him to live his life in and through us. Now, oftentimes we try to look at the will of God as a particular plan. And boy, we better not miss God's plan for our lives. And it's like looking for a needle in a haystack. We're searching and searching and searching. And then we get so fearful that we're going to miss God's will for us that we get stuck in the mud. It paralyzes us and we don't do anything. Boy, have we had the people throughout our ministry call us as far as that's concerned. I mean, they're so frightened to make a decision because they're afraid they're going to make the wrong decision as far as the will of God is concerned. So we have to first go back to the basics, go back to the foundation. Have you trusted Jesus Christ? If the answer is yes, then you have entered into the will of God for you. It was God's will that you look to the Son and receive eternal life. Mm-hmm. It was God's will that you not perish, but that you be saved. So you are now saved. It was God's will that you enjoy the benefits of this new covenant that he put into effect through the death of Jesus Christ. Are you a new covenant believer? Well, if you're in Christ, yes, you are. So you are right dab in the middle, in the center of God's will. His life is in you. You are in him. That's exactly where God wants you to be. Now, as far as your day-to-day decisions, as far as your life in Christ, just trust him. That's God's will for you, to trust him day in and day out, and to allow him to produce his fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, in and through you. And as you trust him, you will bear that and will be a benefit to others. Yeah. That's what God's will is all about.
Tommy, thanks for the question. Great question. And Bob, thanks for your answer. And friends here at home and in many areas around the world are getting every day off to a great start through their subscription to the Basic Gospel Daily Devotional. It arrives every morning in your email inbox with an encouraged message based on God's Word, and it's by Bob Christopher, of course. It's free, and you can sign up now, and we hope you will subscribe today. Just visit basicgospel.net, scroll to the bottom of the homepage there, and you'll see the sign-up form. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody. We always say thanks as we close the broadcast, and we want to do it one more time. And it's because of you who support this Basic Gospel program every day with your love, with your prayers, with your gifts. You're the reason that we're here every day proclaiming the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord, and we deeply appreciate what you do to keep the message on the air and online. So you can donate now or any time at basicgospel.net, and we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of Andrew's 8-message series called Clean and Close. We'd love for you to have that. Again, you can donate now or any time at basicgospel.net. A reminder also that if you have questions after we're off the air, call the listener line, leave a voicemail. You'll hear your question or concern discussed on the Basic Gospel program in the next day or two. 844-322-2742 is the number to dial. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be back with us again tomorrow, same time for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.